4CA, John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Now, let's go to what we were just talking about a few minutes ago. It's a number of these children who are fundamentally committing the crimes of adults. And what's it doing? It's putting every one of us at risk, regardless of age. You've got now the young kids. They just think it's great to ram into police cars, not just in Townsville. This is becoming de rigueur among young people. Why? Because they can brag about it on the net. So ramming police cars, the speeding, the attack, the hijacking, etc. It goes on and on. And these are not hardened adult criminals. These are our children. You would have just heard a few minutes ago, I went through the with the police officer down at police headquarters, the charges today. And here's one of them. This vehicle charges at Moorabool. Officers have charged a 12-year-old. Now, this is early hours of this morning. Stolen Lexus RX 350, deployment of tyre deflation. These are children. These are school children. 12-year-old Moorabool boy charged with one count of unlawful use of a motor vehicle. He has been refused bail. And Children's Court later today, I think, yes. So that's just an example. These are very, very young. And I did say to the officer this morning, I said to Peter, can they see over the dashboard? And he said, sometimes with difficulty, and sometimes how the hell do their feet reach the pedals? So this is what we're enduring. And then I pick up this headline, child and adolescent physicians express grave concerns about children being detained in adult watch houses. Do they come up with an effective deterrent that might actually protect us and our families? Anyway, here it is, the Royal Australasian College of Physicians. These are the paediatricians, has reiterated its strong opposition to the incarceration of children in adult facilities, following deeply concerning reports of a young First Nations girl being detained in an isolation cell, etc. Anyway, the president of said body said, incarceration of young people can have profound negative impacts on the health, a social and cognitive development of these children. Once again, the focus is way away, away from the people who are suffering this invasion by these children. Anyway, here's the main quote. Children under 14 years of age, he said, should not be in the criminal justice system in the first place. And we repeat our calls to raise the minimum age of criminal responsibility to at least 14 years without exception. You see, they don't come up with any way of actually reducing the number of obscene crimes being committed by kids that are risking the lives of our loved ones, us and our loved ones every day. It's all about those who are creating our nightmare. And there's never a word about the people who fundamentally are charged with the responsibility of keeping these out-of-controlled children, these potentially criminal children and actual criminal children, under some sort of control. So once again, there's all these people that want to take shortcuts, and they seemingly always get the headlines. But in recent times, I've had the opportunity to talk with Keith Hamburger. He's much more practical in some of these matters. I hope he's going to be today. I've just put a call through to him. He's the former Director General of Queensland's Corrective Services Commission. Keith Hamburger, AM, is on the line. Keith, good morning.
Morning, John. How are you?
I'm well, but once again, this report this morning, this is a 12-year-old, you know, and the point made by the police officer, I said to him, can they see over the dashboard? He said they struggled to get their feet onto the pedals. Look, this is absolutely terrifying, and what we're seeing now is intentionally from time to time, this is happening down in Townsville particularly, where they're actually ramming police cars, and yet invariably the focus is always on provide less disincentive for these children to commit crime. Talk to me about your position on these matters.
John, look, as I've said, I think previously, this whole system is broken. You can't talk about not incarcerating these children. These are very dangerous children, and they have to be taken off the streets, and they have to be kept off the streets. I've talked to you previously about this in the sense that adult watch houses, is not the place for them. I feel for police trying to deal with young children in the midst of dealing with dangerous adult offenders and all sorts of drunks and other people in the one spot, and children should never be in that. What we do need is purpose-built, secure facilities, which I would call assessment centres, and those young people are taken there by the police, not to a white jazz, taken to that assessment centre and holistically assessed for all of their circumstances. Now, I saw this work overseas in Northern Europe, where they've got the lowest incarceration rate of children in the world. Those young folk are kept off the streets probably 3 weeks to a month. They don't get bail. They don't go out anywhere. They stay in that secure facility while we go through this assessment because, as we all know, about 40% of them have got fetal alcohol syndrome. 70% are functionally illiterate. They don't go to school. They've got a lack of parental care at home. They're on the streets. It's a hopeless situation to even think about bail. These kids need to be taken off the street. They need to be incarcerated, but in an assessment centre where they're thoroughly reviewed by professionals, and then that review report with a plan for their future is taken to the court, where the court's advised by those professionals. Victims can be part of that process. And then we have, instead of putting them in large universities for crime or 350-bed juvenile detention centres, we put them in small facilities close to their community of interest where they've got to be secure for some of these kids who are quite heinous crimes, and a level, appropriate level of security, and then we work with them and their families and the community, and we bring about change. The current process, when you look at it, I think the recidivism rate from these youth detention centres at the moment is something like within 12 months, 90% come back into prison after having committed more crimes. And in my experience in adult corrections, I've watched 90% of those kids in detention come onto adult prisons. So if that was a business that was supposed to protect this society and rehabilitate people, they'd be in the hands of the receivers. It's awful.
Did you say 90%, for example, coming out of Cleveland, not only are they back in Cleveland within 12 months, but when they get to adult years, 90% of them end up in prison. Did you say that?
They progress to adult prisons, that's right.
That's a catastrophic failure. But we have governments that preside over an endless catastrophic failure that keeps us out here in innocent land in absolute misery.
Exactly, and we keep building more of these things. And instead, we need to change the infrastructure totally.
Yeah.
Police should not be worrying about kids in watch houses. They should be going to these assessment centres, controlled there for a period, which, as I said, 3 to 4 weeks. Get before the court. Court looks very carefully at this. Magistrates overseas tell me that sometimes they have to sit about 3 times to get the final decision, but they work it out, and then from then on, those kids are closely controlled. You can't put 12-year-old kids who steal cars and run over people, etc., on bail. You can't give them a couple of months in prison and turn them out. Nothing happens. It's just ridiculous.
I, once again, cannot understand why the people we elect to protect us, provide safety for us and our families when we're bringing up our children, etc., they hear people like you, and with vastly experienced people like you, say, overseas, this is what they're achieving, this is what they're able to achieve. I cannot understand why it's such a big deal for highly qualified people to get on a plane, go overseas, sit down and talk to the people having much better results than us and say, how the bloody hell do you do it? Why don't governments embrace your advice on this, Keith?
I wish I knew the answer because I've talked to everybody from the Premier down about this, and there doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency there. I don't know what advice that agencies, the departments are giving their ministers, but, as you just said, the best practice is out there, and they haven't even got to get on a plane. They can just talk by Skype these days and sort this out. But it's First Nations communities, and I hope some of those people listening this morning, I've talked to a number of them across Queensland, and they want to see a complete change as well. And there's good people in those communities that want to get on top of this problem. All we're doing now is, we're just, as one elder once said a while back, all these kids getting locked up, they're our future elders, and they're finishing up in the justice system, just because of sheer neglect and inappropriate practices by government and by communities and everything. We're all part of the problem, but we've got to change what we're doing. Keep doing more of the same, we're going to get the same outcomes.
40% of these offenders suffer fetal alcohol syndrome. That's quite a complex matter. Can we just put that to one side for a moment? I think you said 70% of them have no schooling virtually. Is that what you said?
I said, about 70% are functionally illiterate. They don't attend school. There's a huge problem in Queensland with school suspensions and nowhere for these kids to go. If they suspend them from school, well, they're back on the street.
Yeah.
So that's that can be solved. There's some very good special education organisations that can be beefed up to, and there's a very good Indigenous one called the Silver Lining Foundation that runs about half a dozen schools now that focuses particularly on these young kids, puts them in buses, takes them to school, feeds them, makes sure they're controlled, which, you know, we can't do that in a normal education system. We can set up an alternative education. Every child has to learn to read and write. We all agree on that.
Silver Lining Foundation. We've got to put it up in lights, because then we'll start to see from what you're saying some results, because we're going backwards now. The other point made by a senior police officer to me is he was aware and has been aware over an extended period of time serving in all sorts of remote places and not remote places, who say a heck of a lot of these kids, largely Indigenous, it's not that they don't attend school, it's that they've never even been to school and there's no follow-up. What happened to the old idea of truancy, truant officers, Keith? It's long gone. No. My God, they're missed.
Well, that's true. I was in an Indigenous community, I won't name it, a couple of years ago, where meeting with elders there to talk about these sort of problems. Mm-hmm. And I noticed all these youngsters wandering around the street.
Yes.
The school day. And I said, what's going on? And they said, oh, I've got 100 kids here, don't go to school.
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean they don't go to school? He said, I said, well, what's the department doing about it? He says, oh, I don't think they care. He said, nobody knows, you know. Yeah. Now, we've lost the plot, you know, when that happens.
Yes. Do you know, I'm thinking of replaying this and getting some political representatives. In fact, I'm going to find a way of doing this fundamentally so that they can't say, oh, I didn't know, oh, I didn't hear him, whatever. I'm going to make sure a few people in positions of authority and influence can hear what you're saying, because you've said it exactly as you said it last time. It's screaming common sense. And yet we've got people who put their hands up, say, oh, we're in control, oh, we're doing everything we can about bringing the crime rate under control, particularly in North Queensland. They're getting some cut through with stolen cars, but it's very, very slow. And once again, as you heard that point this morning, we've still got children as young as 12 stealing vehicles. So we really need to get these people we're about to elect a new government in Queensland in October. We're going to the polls. We need to have this out front and centre, because it's the biggest threat to people living in regional North Queensland. That's a juvenile crime rate up here, Keith.
Yeah, that's right. And, well, from talking of North Queensland, Robbie Catter's got this bushcam model, which would be part of the model that I'm talking about, because we need to have a whole range of different options to progress these kids through. Mm-hmm. And that's something that desperately needs support. And I know there's a number of communities, First Nations communities, that want the same thing to happen. And yet, as we say, we know it, the science is there, we know what has to be done, but there's no will to do it on the parade at this stage.
Always good to talk to you, Keith. Thank you.
The pleasure to talk to you, John. Thanks a lot.
He's an inspiration, isn't he? It's Keith Hamburger. There are answers. We've just got to get the people we elect to embrace those answers and activate those methods that he talks about. For God's sake, I can't understand how they sleep at night with this going on about them. That's our political representatives. If you've got some views on what you've just heard, by all means, share them. That's Keith Hamburger, AM, former Director General, Queensland's Corrective Services Commission.